On a rainy day, city forester Jean Grace takes me on a tour of the city cemetery, where tall evergreen trees hang over many of the graves, hemlock trees. The cemetery has the peace and quiet of any cemetery, but if you take a closer look at the hemlock branches, I mean real close, you'll spot the hemlock woolly adelgid.
So we kind of like, you need like a microscope or a hand lens to really see them. There's kind of one right there, that little bump. I think that's it. Yeah, I just squished it.
Oh my God.
They're really little.
I think it was on your fingertips.
Yeah, so it takes like millions of them.
This hemlock tree, like many in the Great Lakes region, is coated with this white, waxy, fluffy material right where the needles meet the branch. It looks like a light snow has fallen on the tree. Once the tiny bug makes its way to a hemlock tree, it sticks its mouth parts in the branch, hides in this coating, and essentially sucks the life out of the tree.
So when you have millions of these on a single tree, that's making millions of little wounds in the tree that the tree then tries to wall off, and then it just kind of plugs up the whole vascular system of the tree.
Think of it like little scabs, preventing nutrients from flowing through the tree. The hemlocks are easy to protect in a contained space like the cemetery. The city uses an insecticide. But it's harder in areas like gorges, where many hemlocks grow and are essential to the surrounding ecosystem. We take a walk down to a gorge near the cemetery.
The kind of geological situation we've got here is we have all this really loose shale that slowly erodes as the gorges get bigger and bigger. And what the trees do is the tree roots kind of create a network that holds all that soil together and kind of holds the gorge and prevents it from eroding as fast as it would without the trees there.
So lose the hemlocks and you eventually lose the gorge. But scientists are looking for a way to fight back as the insects spread across the Great Lakes region. Mark Whitmore is an entomologist at Cornell University in Ithaca. He suspects that warmer winters are contributing to the insect spread, but it's complicated.
To come up with a simple response, especially to a complex interaction like a tree and an insect, is just fool's game. But that being said, I'll admit to being a fool.
He says hemlock woolly adelgids are sensitive to cold, but last winter, one of the warmest on record, populations went through the ceiling.
I was amazed that they could go through actually 3 years of very high mortality and still bounce back. And I expect them now, with the mild winter we had, and perhaps if with another mild winter, the populations to begin spreading much more rapidly.
Whitmore takes me to his new $1.2 million lab dedicated to protecting hemlocks. This is where the Laricobius nigrinus comes in. It's a beetle just slightly smaller than a sesame seed. In Japan, where the hemlock woolly adelgid originates, these beetles are a natural predator and keep the adelgids in check. Under a microscope in Whitmore's lab, a branch covered in hemlock woolly adelgid fuzz sits in a dish. The Laricobius nigrinus is tearing apart the adelgid fluff, like a kid unwrapping presents on Christmas morning. When it finds and eats the adelgid inside, it moves on to the next one. Whitmore collects these bugs himself.
I think I caught about 2,600 beetles, and I hope to multiply them by 10 times. Maybe that's a modest goal, but that would make 26,000. And that's a significant increase, and that's what we need to do for year in and year out.
Still, Whitmore says we will never get rid of the hemlock woolly adelgid. They travel by wind or perhaps on birds and deer, and they're asexual, so all it takes is one to start a new population. For Great Lakes Today, I'm Caitlin White.